Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4.
I, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Saviour. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Saviour.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Titus chapter 1. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that you would guide us now as we reflect on the wonderful riches that we have in the mercy of Christ. We pray that you would challenge our hearts this morning, and we pray that you would convict us, and we pray that you would remind us of the wonderful blessing that we have in the fact that you loved us so much that you gave us your son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A college professor once brought a huge pendulum into the classroom, and his purpose was to demonstrate a simple physics principle. He explained that because of the loss of energy, the pendulum wouldn't swing from one side all over, all the way across, and then back to where it started. It wouldn't make it all the way back to the same place. Then he gave his students this challenge. He said, "Do you believe what I said? If you do, come and stand right in the way of where the pendulum started." Some of the students got up and stood right in that place to show that they believed what the lecturer had told them. But as soon as the pendulum had swung all the way out, as it started to swing back, they all quickly moved out of the road. You see, they said they believed. They even tried to show it by their actions, by standing there. But when it came to the test, when that pendulum started to swing towards their face, they showed what they really believed. It doesn't matter what people say they believe. People say lots of things they don't really mean. But when you believe something is true, it changes not only your words, but also your actions. And the only thing that has the power to bring about that kind of change, that kind of lasting and deep change, is genuine faith in the good news of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We can say that we believe in what Jesus has done for us. We can even believe all sorts of facts and theological ideas. But if the good news of Jesus isn't influencing the way that we live, the things that we say, and the priorities that we have in this life, then our profession of faith is nothing more than words. Because genuine faith in the good news of Jesus always changes the hearts and the actions of those who believe. Whoever has put their faith in what Jesus did on the cross has been saved by his grace and mercy, apart from any work of their own. But if that faith isn't demonstrated in their life by their works, if there's no change in their life, then what they say is faith is nothing more than words. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to do amazing things in the hearts and minds of those who trust in him. It has the power to reorder our priorities and to motivate our hearts to serve in sacrificial ways out of thankfulness for what he has done for us. Just as the pendulum test revealed what the students really believed, in today's passage, Paul is reminding Titus that genuine faith in the good news of Jesus is not just a theory or an academic exercise, but something that changes not only our hearts, but also our actions. Now, In the letter to Titus, Paul is giving Titus a really challenging task. To work amongst a mainly Greek population who lived on a fairly large island called Crete. Now, this island was infamous for its treachery and greed. Crete was a place that was plagued with violence and immorality, a place where people worshipped Greek gods. And in his letter, Paul is giving Titus the task of shepherding the church in Crete. Now, that doesn't sound like such a hard task, does it? After all, they're meant to be the ones who have faith in the good news of Jesus. But sadly, the church in Crete had become a place that was full of meaningless talk and deception. There were leaders in the congregation who were teaching all sorts of lies and deceptions for selfish gain. People who claimed to trust in Jesus, but who denied him by their actions. And so as Paul writes his letter to Titus and gives this very difficult task, he also reminds Titus that the good news of Jesus, it not only has the power to save us from the guilt of our sins, but it also has the power to change our hearts and our actions, and the actions of anyone who believes. And so as Paul begins this letter, he is saying, I know that there's a really big problem at the church at Crete. I know that the task I'm giving you is a really big challenge, but no matter what task you face, the good news of Jesus has the power to change the hearts and the minds of those who believe. And so the first point from today's passage, you can call it a passage, it's only four verses. The gospel that saves you reshapes you. The gospel that saves you reshapes you. Now, the big problem in the church at Crete was that the believers had lost sight of the life-saving, hope-giving message of the gospel. They'd become distracted with all sorts of unhelpful things. The church at Crete was originally established by Cretan citizens who had traveled to Jerusalem and had actually been there on the day of Pentecost. They'd witnessed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they had heard Peter stand in front of the crowd and preach the good news of Jesus in their own language. After the day of Pentecost, these new believers returned home to Crete and no doubt shared the good news of Jesus with others who believed. But since then, the message of the gospel had become corrupted with all sorts of false teachings and unhelpful distractions. The people still called themselves Christians. They still met together and worshipped, but their words were not matching their actions. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Yes, it's true that whoever believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross will be saved if their faith is genuine. But to genuinely believe that Jesus died for our sins, you have to also believe that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And if you genuinely believe that you are a sinner who cannot save themselves, that changes you. As you recognize that you cannot take credit for any part of your salvation yourself. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts of sin and shows us how utterly dependent we are on Jesus for mercy. If you genuinely believe that Christ died for you and you bring no righteousness of your own to the table, then the Holy Spirit is giving you an understanding of God's mercy. He's enabling you to see that you're a sinner in need of God's grace. And that understanding changes us forever, changes the way we interact with the world around us. It changes our priorities and what we want in this life. And it was the Holy Spirit who began this good work, as Philippians 1 verse 6 says. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It was his work, he started it, and he will complete it. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What Jesus is saying in those verses is that we will be able to see whether someone's profession of faith in Jesus is true by the way that they live, by the fruit that they produce, by the priorities they have in this life. If our profession of faith is true, if we genuinely have faith in the wonderful gift of mercy that can only be received through Christ, and if the Holy Spirit is working within us, making us more like Jesus, then we will be producing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, of course, not perfectly, not all the time. We'll still make mistakes. But if our faith in Jesus is genuine, others will be able to see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we're in Christ, if our profession of faith in Jesus is more than just words, then we'll be growing in the fruit of the Spirit, in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Again, not perfectly, but if our faith in Christ Jesus is genuine, if our profession of faith is more than just words, the Holy Spirit will be reshaping us. As the Holy Spirit begins and continues the good work that he has begun in us. Because the faith that saves you also reshapes you. The second point from today's passage, or our four verses, is the gospel that saves you seals you. The gospel that saves you seals you. Now, Crete was a place that was known for lying and deception. In fact, the Greek word for Crete actually means to lie. To be a Cretan is to be a liar. Lying had become such a big part of the culture that they'd become known for it. But even though these believers were in a culture where just about everybody was lying and deceiving each other, the good news of Jesus and the certain hope of life forever with him is not a lie, because God cannot lie. And we know this because time and time again, God has been faithful to his promises. We've been in Genesis recently. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised to bless Abraham and his descendants, become a great nation, and to bless all the people of the earth through his descendant. But for a long time, God's promise remained unfulfilled. In Ezekiel 36:26, as God declared judgment on the nation of Judah, he pointed forward to a day when he would give those who trust in him a new heart and a new spirit, a day when he would remove our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh. But no one, not even one person in that generation, lived long enough to see God fulfill that promise. But that doesn't mean God lied. It just shows that his timing is quite different from ours. It wasn't until hundreds of years later, in fact, it was 600 years later, that God did exactly what he promised he would do. God sent Jesus, the greatest descendant of Abraham and God's one and only son, into the world to live the perfectly sinless life that no one else apart from him has ever or will ever be able to do, and to die the death that we deserve to die, so that we can live forever through faith in him. God has proven that his word is true. He has proven it time and time again. You see, people lie all the time. People say things they don't mean. They make promises that they never intend to deliver on. But the hope of eternal life that was achieved on the cross through Jesus Christ is guaranteed by the evidence seen throughout Scripture and throughout the lives of those who trust in him, that God does not lie. And the God who does not lie says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, speaking about our salvation, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the praise of his glory." If you've heard and believed the good news of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit now dwells in you. And God's Spirit is working in you to make you more and more like Jesus, as the gospel that saves you continues to work in you to seal you until the day that Jesus returns. Today's passage is reminding us that to know the gospel is to be changed by it. Because unless you've been changed by the good news of Jesus, you don't know it. Not really. Not in your heart. Saving knowledge of the gospel changes our hearts and minds and continues to change our hearts and minds as we continue to follow Jesus. Knowing the gospel isn't about some sort of head knowledge. It makes no difference how much we know about Jesus if we don't know him as our Lord and Savior. In these verses, Paul is reminding Titus how he can know, as he goes into this church in Crete, how he can know who has been saved by the good news of Jesus. Or in other words, who are the genuine believers and who are just saying that they believe? Because those who have been saved, those who believe the good news of Jesus, not only in their heads but also in their hearts, display it in their actions. And so that should cause us to ask ourselves, can those around us see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we growing in the fruit of the Spirit? We don't just get to pick which ones are the fruit of the Spirit we like to, by the way. We've got to grow in all of those fruit of the Spirit. We don't get to ignore patience and other ones we find harder. Are we continually, even if it's slowly, becoming more and more like Jesus? Is the good news of Jesus changing the way that we live and the daily decisions that we make? Because the gospel that saves you reshapes you. As the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to convict us of sin and to remind us of the very real hope that we have in Jesus, a hope that all those people, so many people around us, don't have. The gospel that saves us not only reshapes us, but also seals us with the promised Holy Spirit until the day Jesus returns. So if you've been sitting there listening to today's message, thinking to yourself, "I don't know if I can really see the work of the Holy Spirit in my life lately," then today's passage is encouraging you to let go of your own good works, to let go of the chart that you put against yourself, whether you've been good or bad or done things well, even just how well you've had your quiet time, and to lean in to the grace and the mercy that can only be found through Christ Jesus, to rest in what he has done for us. Because our hope is not in what we have done, but in what he has done and who we are in him. There is no such thing as a Christian apart from the Holy Spirit. And there is no such thing as a person who has the Holy Spirit in them who is not gradually being changed and becoming more and more like Christ Jesus. Because the gospel that saves us reshapes us and seals us until the day that Jesus returns. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we walk with you, Lord, we would do so with genuine faith. We pray that you would help us to live in the light of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, to rest in your mercies, to grow in our walk with you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us of the areas in our lives where we are not letting you in. And we pray that as you shape us, as you make us more and more like Jesus, we would be a light to those who don't know you, so that they might want it for themselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.